I'm really glad she, that I read her text again when I got it and said,
awkward.
Because everybody has this cool
but me.
Now, I'm assuming because they mailed mine, but why would they just they mail it if I'm going to be here?
That's part of the reason I thought. So anyway, are you down with it? He is, but I don't know if he can part of the project or pencil it out. But he is. He said, okay, that sounds good.
That was way smart. Yeah, I like that.
So, but that cleaned up the apartment, cleaned up that old house. So I don't like it.
Well, if we could get Gary to stop talking, we'd probably be able to start.
We don't have a chairman.
Yeah, we do. She's not here yet. She told us to start without her. Her car broke down. Whoop! She's here before I even got to get going. So
it was me. I was talking to
you. Of course, on the day we need to be there right on time, we're stuck on the side of the room.
And so, you know, we've got the presentation.
Wow.
Thank you for reminding me. Don't worry.
I have to wear my coat. So, it's always cold.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your patience while we peel ourselves off the side of the road and get ourselves in here. So, well, welcome everyone. We've had a couple of board members that have reached out tonight that are in traffic and are coming, so we'll be joined by a few more. I've asked them to just take it safe and or play it safe and drive slow, so we'll welcome them as they have a chance. And board member Wiggle has asked to be excused this evening, so we will wish him well on his rehab and hope that that goes well. So our first item up with our work session is we're going to do things a little bit different and have a special presentation. So, Chief, if you'd like to just walk us through what we've got going on today. And
sure. I think he would, because he was part of it.
Sure, absolutely.
No, I just, it's, you know, as leaders of the community, as leaders of the fire department, it's not frequent that we are able to go on certain calls. And this call that we'll be talking about was a cardiac arrest in West Point. What's unique about it is the patient, he's behind me, was in cardiac arrest. And so he came in a few weeks ago to give us a thanks to the crew. Actually, the crew was there on that day. So I thought, you know, it's sometimes us who are making these decisions on first responders never get to hear the good stories. We can talk about them, but it's rare that you get to see the individual that we performed life-saving measures here amongst us and able to speak to that. So with that, I'll turn the time over to Craig Gray. We do have a lot of the crews here that were on that call. And so I'll let Craig, if you're comfortable, step here to stand and maybe explain the situation. This happened on May 24th. I'm sure a date that they'll never forget, or his family. Mm-hmm. But this is his family, and if you mind introducing yourself and just talk about what you remember from it.
Well, I don't remember a lot, but I will. It's going to be real emotional for me. I'm sorry. But, it did happen on the 24th of May. I was home watching Jeopardy, and like everybody else, I tried to answer the questions. And fortunately, my wife was there. She had just barely been home 5 or 10 minutes at the most. And I just was gone, literally gone. I didn't, no pain, nothing, just gone. Myself, I didn't wake up till 30. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know why I was there. I was in the hospital. And fortunately, my family, my daughter-in-law, Alicia, is a nurse, and my son has been trained in CPR. They live fairly close to me, and after my wife called 911, she called my son. And they actually beamed to my house. I don't know how they got there so fast. They live in that New Bennett States, and we live in Patterson States. And when they got there, I was still sitting on the couch, and my understanding is they got me on the floor and started giving CPR. I mean, how lucky are you to have a son that knows and a daughter-in-law that's a registered nurse? And they did whatever they could. could with CPR until the EMTs got there, and they got there rather quickly. And it was two gentlemen that came in, and I think Chief Williams was one of them. And I was gone. You know, they thought I had a heart attack, but when I got to the hospital, it was not a heart attack. I had what they call a heart block, and my heart completely just stopped. And it's the strangest thing. I mean, you don't, there's no pain, nothing. You don't have any forewarning that this is going to happen. And when I got there, they were able to, from what I understand, to get me going a little bit with the heartbeat and got me in the ambulance. They had to incubate me. I've got a broken tooth to prove it. But that's a small price to pay. When I got to the hospital, I was told that I was even somewhat conscious, but I don't remember anything, nothing. I know that when I got in the hospital, I was a code blue, that I didn't even know what that meant, but my family told me they were broadcasting code blue all over the hospital, which is, I guess I was dead. And like I said, I never woke up until Thursday. And at that time, I didn't even understand what had gone on or where I was or why I was there. I did find out that what my problem was is I had a rhythmic problem with my heart. I did not have a heart attack. I had no, my veins were clean. My heart was clean. And I had to have a pacemaker that paces my heart, because somehow my heart lost the electrical capability to the signals. Now, to make a long story short, I wouldn't be here without these people. There's Ted. These people. So lucky to have this type of a program in such a small community. It's West Point. I know they serve North Davis, but to me it's West Point. And to have people that have this expertise and have the equipment to save a life is incredible. And my son told me that the statistics for people who have what I have, heart block, 94% of the people don't make it. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And to think that these people sitting in this room saved my life. And I want them to know that there's people out there every day that appreciate what you do. And there's people that don't make it. And there's some people that do. And I'm very proof of that. And when you go on these calls, I don't want you to ever think that you're not being appreciated and that you're not doing a life for me. I mean, here I am. I wouldn't be here without these people. And I know you don't always feel appreciated and you work your butts off or whatever. But we appreciate it. And there are some of us that thank you. In my case, 6% of the people make it. It's incredible and wonderful. I'd just like to say thank you. And I can guarantee you that my family and I are all advocates of the services that you provide now. But as far as the board goes, I hope you understand that how hard these people work and that they do save lives. And I know sometimes finances and budgets, but I'm telling you, what's a life worth? So I appreciate the time, and I really appreciate the people that were there on that call. Chief Williams, I don't know who the other EMT was.
Oh, if I can say the things, I think it's appropriate to, for those who are here, now is a good time.
Okay.
myself, Robert Carey, Robert, he was there. Shay Kaysen, there. Chief Dunberg. Ryan Rampton, he's not here with us today. And then Kyle McGovern was the other medic. We were short that day, so that's the reason why I was on my way home. But, good timing that I was close, so I met myself. So, and we really, it's these individuals, just to reiterate what you already said. So, they're the true heroes. So.
Thank you.
While we have all of you here, if we could get... We would love to get a picture of the family and the, those of the crew that were there on that call. We would just love to do that. Eventually, when are you shooting? We appreciate having a chance to hear from someone who's been a client. That's kind of a weird thing to like, you know, like I'm glad you're able to come back in, but it's, I appreciate them coming in and just for everybody on our cruise who had a chance to come back in today as well. We invite you to stay. We've got super riveting discussions for the rest of it with like budget numbers and call numbers like that, but it's fun to have somebody other than like we talk to like the audience and it's like crickets out there and there's no chairs. We're like, ladies and gentlemen of the public, I wish you were here. So, but we invite you to come and stay here for the rest of it. We've got our rest of our work session that we'll go ahead and get roll into. Let's see here. I forgot my glasses. Actually, they're in my car. That's on this. Thank you. Actually, that really does help. Chair, thank you. Yeah.
Would you like to just to have a conversation about the fee schedule before?
I'm just looking at.
Yeah, it's item number one.
Yeah, no, like that's. Yeah, I should make sure that we don't adjust anything else. Yeah, the, no, that'd be good to just go ahead as agendized.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go right ahead.
We're going to need to table the auto paint agreement with our report base and access.
Yeah, no, but if you want to go ahead and just, yeah, we'll start into the fee schedules.
We just, you know, as the board is aware, and just have the documentation, Keith Williams, and myself, we're working on a fee schedule. We just have other departments, and we just have a different job. And he is reviewing the legal documentation and the resolution. Chief Williams, he's on the test today, so.
Yes, we compiled, we went to different departments, made some visits with other departments to see where, you know, kind of like a study, so to speak, with other departments. What we realized, a lot of departments are in the same situation. They know there's a need, but haven't got to this as far as getting it done.
I'm sorry, there's a brand new stated one that you'll probably want to be that one, which is what we're going to have. It's more of a final. I'm sorry.
So, you know, we took an approach trying to be conservative, reasonable, yet have the ability to, as far as the time that we put in, a lot of the changes that we made were through the inspections, the time reviews. We really never had a permitting fee without going into great detail. Normally what you do is when you issue a permit, there would be inspections that go with it. So when they pay for a permit, there would be included inspections within that. And so what we did was try to see where other departments were on their pricing. What we found, a lot of them said that we haven't adjusted ours, so ours we have to bump. So we tried to be just really taking a good approach to this was, we need to do repo, but recoup the work that goes into it. And part of the figure was the hourly wage of the employee. Parsons was the software, not trying to gouge anybody. So we think the document that's sitting in front of you, there's been a lot of thought into it. We're trying to be fair and put a lot of good thought into as far as what's a reasonable price to charge and try to keep all of that without gouging people. And this is where we came. We feel like this is a really good document that will help us recoup the work and the efforts that go into doing the inspections and all the other things that we do. There was one thing that we did add to this, which is called charging language, and you'll see that that's on page 4 of the document. Now, this is really important for us as fire marshals to be able to have, so to speak, teeth. If I could use an example, if you like, an officer issuing a citation, but it's just a citation, it's just a piece of paper, nothing, there's no follow-up. And that's kind of what we're finding is a lot of people, we don't find use this very often, but it's nice to have this card to go out to people. And rarely did I use this when I worked for Ogden City, but people were aware of it. It's transparent up front that if you don't comply within a certain time frame, this is what possibly could happen. Normally, we don't ever have to do that. Normally, we try to get, the goal that we're trying to get is people to work towards the progress of complying with the fire code. But this gives us the latitude, if we have to, that we can actually use this charging measure so people know up front if you don't comply with the fire code in a reasonable time, that we could ensue a fee. We did check with LeGrand on as far as the district. Can the district ensue? We use the word fine, but really it's a fee. There's a fee for the violation, and comes with that is a cost. Okay, so we did check on that to make sure with the district we can do that. And so we feel like this charging language and the time frame allowed is really good for the district, for us as the fire marshal, to get people who just absolutely just doesn't want to comply. So that's something that's new. Other than that, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm happy to entertain any questions that maybe I haven't answered.
I would just like to add one thing just for the board to aware. Since we changed to we reorganized to a local district, we don't have to have, by state statute, we don't have to have cities collect our impact fees for us no more. With this new website program and payment program or whatever, this can get a little homework or whatever. And I realized the last 2 years are significant, but over the last 3 years, we've paid out about $18,000 in fees to the jurisdictions and just processing impact fees, which we can start doing in house now, which would at least pay for the study every 5 years or whatnot. So that's part of this as well.
There's one other one I failed to mention. Underneath the charging language on page 4, there's a fire watch. We, as you're aware, we spoke to, there was a fire watch that we ensued in Clearfield City of a severe violation of life safety. And one thing we found is it's hard to get a fire watch company right off the bat. And so what's been done before is for them to give them time. I mean, you got to be reasonable that, okay, we find a violation, it's severe enough, either we evacuate the building premises without putting people on the street. That's really, you can't do that. It's hard to do. And so what we have done before is you could do a fire watch using firefighters until they can find the time frame to find a local company that could do the fire watch. So what we've got down here is a fire watch. If our firefighters want to work the overtime, then they can go ahead and sue that fire watch until the company can find a company to do that. So it's just an offering to them to try to help them. Yes, there's a few of that, but that covers the cost of them for to go sit through the fire watch. So that's something that, again, it really does help them if we find something rough. Like this last one, I had a choice. Do I evacuate the premises until they get somebody? Well, that's not reasonable. And so we have to work with the customer to the best we can. But this provides them at least an opportunity, because all I need is one firefighter to walk the premises. And if they're able to do that, it provides them that fire watch, and then we'll have to pay the employee overtime. But that's something that we got into that. Any questions?
On the fees themselves, just a couple things that stood out. Explosives, just an interesting that we're $200 for a company that does explosives, but $700 for fireworks display.
So the fireworks display, so that when you're in your cities, when we do the fireworks display, that's encapsulating all of the work that goes in. So there'll be I'll do a review of the site plan, and then I'll go up and meet with the fireworks guy to go over the site.
Okay.
And then it also includes when we go up and actually stay there all day. So in all your cities, like, we'll be there from 4 o'clock till midnight. So all of that fee is included into that time frame for us, me as a fire marshal, and even our fire personnel that go up there and have to stand by for the fireworks.
Perfect.
Does that explain?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
That's good.
It's more of a man hour to go into the fireworks, not just before, it's actually the event itself.
Okay. And then right below that one was fire hydrants and valves. Is that an inspection of fire hydrants and valves, or is that it's operational?
There are times when a contractor wants to come read their water pressure.
Okay.
And so it's hours going out. We have a gauge that tests it. Normally we defer it out to a city to do that, like, hey, get a hold of your water department. But there will be times like, hey, can you come test the water pressure? And it's just a way, it's rarely it happens, but again, if it happens, we need to be, it's our time.
Actually, Mayor, with that, so a new developer, then they need to prove whatever gallon permitted they need for the project. We used to have Clearfield City would go, and we would, but that's Clearfield City owns those, West Point owns there, whatever. So we require the developer, we just have to go witness it, but we also have to contact, the city doesn't provide that either, because the city, if you break their main, you just bought it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's paying for us to go witness it.
What we prefer is to have them hire a fire protection engineer and work that out, but there are circumstances we may have to do that. So back then we used to do it a lot. Now we've realized, like, let's say the water main, the turn things on. If we break the valve stem, now we got to fix it. So we're trying to refrain from doing that, but there could be circumstances where we do that.
Like Freeport is all clay or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, you don't want to break any of those things.
Okay. That was all the questions I had.
Any other questions? Concerns on that?
So were the other departments that you reached out to thankful that you're doing this for us, so that they can just copy it?
They're going to ask. They're
going to look at it and go, oh, this is wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
What's funny about it is I thought most people have something established. We actually, what we did have originally was actually pretty good. It just, there's definitely more things that we could add to it, detail. All the fire marshals and the cities we met with said, we got to do the same thing. So it was really good timing that we're discussing and bringing up, and hopefully we get this approved. And if there's any change, we're welcome to do that. And suggestions, the goal is to get it right. And I'm happy to answer the question after the day if we need to.
Always good to be the trendsetter.
There we go. And just as the board's aware, it is something that the board can choose to take action on it in our policy session later today if you'd like to. If there's some concerns or things you'd like to have reworked or come back, it's also something that we can bring back in January, but it is keyed up as a possible action, just depending on where your comfort level is on that and anything like that. So that'll be for discussion as we get into policy. So if there's no other questions on that one, then we'll move into item three next. Well, actually, we're not messing with the mutual aid agreement. So would be just any concerns on the proposed schedule for the calendar year for next year for meetings. You know, there's a couple of those just changes because you've got chiefs out of town at one time. We have different. There's just a handful of things. It's usually, you know, always our third Thursday, but there's a few times where we kind of bump it.
You're right. I think one thing to point out is we would really like to do our planning session. February 16th. We're hoping to start that meeting at 4:30 p.m. Hopefully that gives everyone enough time. I did look as far as we put into the future where I believe you are the lead.
Yeah.
For what we could find, I hope it will work okay with the other schedules.
Yeah, no, the league one, if I remember right from memory, is the week before the April meeting. So. Yeah. Okay, so any other concerns? Again, the late January one, while they've got the Chiefs will be out of town, and then really start in February.
I'll be late to the February.
Okay. Okay. Okay, not hearing anything else like that, then that's definitely, we've got kind of a head nod as far as the dates on that. Is that one on? Did we get that one fixed? No, it's pretty close. Okay. It's still weird to have it like on the right thing. For years it was, so whoever fixed that, it's still like a little bit of dark magic. It's awesome.
Yeah, it worked good.
Okay, thank you. It's kind of like the one in my car. Like it was always 12 minutes fast. So. Okay, and then the last thing we had though was talking about committee assignments. You guys, most of everyone has talked with chiefs in the last month. It was just back in the day, I think you guys called it the executive committee or the budget committee, but it's just kind of in that same vein. If we've got couple of board members that would like to be a little bit more hands-on as we queue up budget stuff coming into our February planning meeting. So it's being a part of that. So it'd be maybe once or twice meeting between now and our February packet send out. So again, the next month of just being willing to do that. So it's not anything I'm going to assign anybody to, but if anyone would like to be involved in that, we made an adjustment to our bylaws. Last month, Misty? November, October? Anyway, that just said, you know, we can do committees. So if anyone's like, please, more meetings. This is what I need in my life.
I believe it said in the policy that you had to formalize.
Right, yeah. In the meeting. So that's what that item is anyone as far as the, I don't even know what you want to call it. But I think we used to call it like the budget committee or the whatever. Yeah. But it was, the idea was just to have it a little bit bigger than just a chair or vice chair role into, and to make sure that that invitation went out there and that we had a broader representation as far as that process. So.
Why nominate Scott? Because he's not here.
That is awesome. Lee, under the bus.
Tell him thank you.
Yeah, there we go. You know, I think he probably would already have a spot there because he's the vice. Yep, there you go. So, is there anyone who would like to be part of that? Again, we're not going to voluntell anybody, but anyone would like to be part of that? I don't know that I expect anything different, so you may get a phone call and be like, hey, in our January meeting, we may want to officially make you part of a something. So, okay. Then if we are close enough, oh, we're 6:30 right on the dot then. Look at us go. Okay.
Chair,
yes.
This isn't on the agenda, but if we could do it after the meeting, or we could do it real quick. The new paramedic truck's here.
I would love that. Let's do it right now.
Just wants to go see it real quick.
Yeah, let's do it right, rather than at night. Because yeah, once we're done, everyone's just like, you know, let's get home and get dinner going. So, yeah, let's do that. If someone would move to just adjourn for a few minutes, and then we'll reconvene in policy.
Okay.
Second. Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, my phone's like totally dead.
I'm going to.
What's that?
I figured you were just hiding.
Is it a mind Gary's the only one you're managed to say? You changed that whole thing.
I figured you were just pocketing it in your glove box and just got it built.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Okay, we'll go ahead and reconvene. Misty, are we good recording wise? Okay, we'll go ahead and get started then. I think I forgot to put on there just in case we need it for recording. It is NDFD Thursday, December 15th, 2022. We are here at Station 41. Wow, Station 41. So we'll go ahead and proceed into policy session then. Misty, would you mind reminding me who you had asked to do the opening ceremony this morning?
I was a volunteer because it was supposed to be you, but you did it last month in October.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot to talk to you. So if you'd like me to do it, I
sure.
Do it.
Would you be willing to?
Sure. Father, I'm really grateful that we could meet here with the Board of Trustees of the North Davis Fire District. And we're thankful for the first responders who have served this community and who sacrificed their time and their energy to provide service to the community. We thank you for their service, and we ask you to please watch over the community and watch over the board as they make the decisions for the community and for the firefighters and the community citizens. They will have Jesus Christ in it.
I get it in the corner. We got it.
We can see it.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. Thank you, Chief. Yes,
there's one on that one.
We got a bunch. There's options.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just didn't see right without it.
Thank you. Is there anyone who's here to do citizen comment? If not, we're going to do a little bit of an audible. Okay, Chief.
I would like to just take a moment to recognize Holly for her service. Holly has resigned her position. She's charting a new trail down in Arizona.
No. You told her no, right? I mean, that's
I tried to.
No. Yeah. You don't try to tell her no. You just say, I'm sorry. That ain't happening.
She's check rehirable. She knows that. She's just going another direction. But I did want to share. I hired Holly, 6 years ago? Right. 6 years ago, brand new cadet, candidate, fresh out of school. We brought her on full time. She's excelled. We sent her to paramedic school. She's just been awesome. I just wanted her, and besides our public outreach and managing our Facebook and stuff, she's in public education. She was one of our clowns. She's just good to walk in the district. She's going to be missed, but wanted to recognize her for her service for the district. So.
Well, and with that, Holly, we're going to put you on the spot and give you a second if you wanted to come up. We just would love to give you an opportunity impromptu.
I always thank you for that. I love each of our chiefs and all of my fellow firefighters. Some personal notes the last couple days, and just express to them how grateful I am to have known them. I've learned so much from everyone, from Chief Beecraft all the way down to Austin, one of my newest firefighters. It's been a crazy 6 years. A lot has happened. A lot of really interesting experiences. I've grown so much as a person, as a firefighter, as a paramedic now. I mean, this has been an amazing opportunity. And I'm sad to leave. I didn't leave for another a job. It's for personal reasons. So it's not like I'm escaping town for more money. I did actually go, because I'm one of those people, like, I'm not going to sit home and not do anything. So I did apply for a couple jobs the last couple weeks, and I did get an offer letter from Gilbert Fire, so that's where I will be going. So I'm down in my area. Do you guys like on vacation? You're welcome to come down there. I'm sure you're on town. So every Saturday, this is my last shift. It was a good shift. Rector did a good job sending me off. So I really appreciate everything you guys have done, and keep up the good work for these guys. They deserve it.
Can I comment?
Please.
Holly, it's been fun to have you around. We've seen you here for a long time. You're awesome. The other day I saw a news story, maybe some of you saw it.
I don't know why they made a big deal out of it, because it was Tooele hired their first female firefighter. I'm like, where have you been? We've been at this a long time. And thank you, by the way. It's so nice to have male and female firefighters. I think it's just been awesome to have you here, and you've done a great job. So, well done. Thank
I'm
you.
Still saying no.
Well, you're saying no, and I'm saying snow.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
3 days of snow.
Very true. We'll forgive you. Yeah. You are, and I mean that, you're going to be missed.
I am going to try to make it to the banquet. I'm sending you a video for the banquet and stuff. So
wow.
I'll try to make it back up here in March. So I'll see you guys.
Yeah, I told her she's got ties here. Can't be a
strange. Yeah. That's what I said. Understand your family forever, right? Isn't that how that works?
Absolutely. Yeah, she never looks like, she's like, I love you. Spread your wings and fly, but then come back home to us. Yeah. So, but yeah, I will definitely be back. So, well, appreciate you guys.
We wish you the best.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you taking a minute. I know we totally just threw you under the bus on that one and put you on the spot.
It's been emotional a couple of days, so I'm used to it.
Thank you.
Well, she will be so, so missed. And like I say, we've got some mayors in the room. There's got to be a way to be like veto.
Right.
Yeah. Some veto power. So, with that, then, again, I don't see anybody else unless Chief Hadley wants to take a minute during citizen comment. If not, we will go ahead and proceed then. Next item for consideration for the board is the minutes from the October 20th, 2022 board meeting that were included in your packet. Any comments or any recommendations as far as any changes? Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
She said it.
Okay.
She said
somehow there was a second. Okay, there's some motions and some seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed?
Yeah.
I don't know that they decided. It was between the two of them.
She said more words.
Okay.
It's more words. Yes.
You were just fine. Next item then for consideration is the approval for the bills for October and November 2022. Any questions on any of the itemized items you had a chance to review before the meeting? Okay.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion from Gary and a second from Howard. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next item then will be the financial report, and Chief or Mr. Kimmerer would like to take that.
I could just, so we're moving along with Amazon's revenue, changing these billing companies and following it closely, but we're still moving on target. Just to note, we've been advised that we're already collecting $400 more per call with the changes we've made. So that's nice. We got our December property taxes. I don't think your report includes that, but we are at 77.4% now, tax-wise, for December. The only thing, other thing that I just want you to call out and which the board is aware of is our vehicle maintenance, how it fell through the fiscal year, and the board is aware that we're going to have to amend that. It's just it's crazy. It is nice that diesel is coming back down a little bit, but our fuel doubled easily. So, other than that, that's all I have.
Okay, if there are no additional questions for the chief, then I'll make a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, thank you then. Motion from Mayor Shepherd and a second from Mayor Vincent. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item then is to discuss the appointment of the Deputy District Clerk. I could tight on that, Jamie Moody.
Jamie could not make it tonight. She was excited to assist when I can't be here. We'll work with her on Title 17, and I think she'll do a fantastic job. She's sharp.
from seeing her in the office. Okay. Any questions about that appointment? If not, if someone would like to make a motion to that end.
I move to appoint Jamie Natty as the district deputy district clerk. Deputy district clerk.
Yeah, very good.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion from Vernon, a second from Mayor Shepherd. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay. Next one is to discuss the appointment of the interim treasurer, and I'm not sure who would like to do that, but maybe just give us an update on Nicole as well.
So I think the board is aware about the email about, unfortunately, Nicole. And the latest updates is she's recovering from the surgery, but it's still unknown. It's a little tragedy. But she wanted to resign, and we said, no, you can't resign. But Ryan, correct me if you, Ryan Child is willing to step in as interim treasurer just legally so we can have that, him appointed that. We're right in the middle of our audit, and so we recommend that the board appoint him as our treasurer right now.
And just so the board's aware, there's already been conversations with the state. It's just letting them know just timeline where we're in the middle of the audit and are needing to make some personnel changes given the Nicole's circumstances.
Correct.
And so we are still in compliance with that, with the notifications that you would have expected, and a little bit of extra time to allow us to allow Ryan to come in and come up to speed on Nicole and not feeling like we're rushing or in any way not giving our audit process, you know, the normal consideration. We have that latitude.
That's moving along.
Yeah.
Okay, it's running late because of...
Right, this, yeah, just...
But they're on top of our audit. I think we'll just be probably adopting it in January.
Yeah, it should be presented probably in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It locks the holiday at this point, you know. So I think... I'm thinking that our auditor Ulrich will probably be there next week. I just haven't heard from them yet.
Okay, thank you.
This doesn't have a December 31st deadline with the state,
yeah,
does it? Yeah,
it does. And Ryan Child had reached out
to them.
The state specifically, and they said there's no adverse action.
Right.
We have so many days, I think 30 or 60 day window, but as long as Ryan keeps contact with them, so they're apprised of what's happening.
Yeah. That's good. That's pretty common. They're good to work with, so good.
Yeah, he actually contacted the state auditor.
Good. He should. That's great.
So,
I'd make a motion to appoint Ryan Child the interim treasurer.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion from Gary and a second from Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Thank you on that. Again, just then item 10 then is the revisit. Any final call for changes to the proposed calendar for 2023? Okay, I entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the calendar for next year.
Second.
Okay, a motion from Annette and a second from Gary. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, and next one is the fee schedule. I haven't heard any calls or requests to take additional time on that. So if someone would like to move to approve that or recommend...
You need to close your public hearing.
Right. My apologies. I don't even have I was going to say we could use it. It's a cool thing. Okay. We'll go ahead and declare the public hearing open for the consideration of Resolution 2022-R-10. Is there anyone who would like to speak to this item?
Seeing no public comment, I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Mayor Shepherd and a second from Gary. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? And just for the record, Misty, just to make sure there's been no comment received to this point as well.
No, there's not, and there is no one participating on
the agenda. Okay, good. Hey, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. Okay, now for consideration. If someone would like to either move to approve or recommend additional items to be, or information to be considered.
Move to approve Resolution 2022-R-10, amending the North Davis Fire District fee schedule.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion from Vern and a second from Mayor Madsen. This is roll call. Vern?
Aye.
Mayor Vincent?
Aye.
Mayor Shepherd?
Aye.
Annette?
Aye.
Nancy?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
And Mayor Madsen?
Yay.
Okay, thank you. That passes unanimously. Fire Chief's report.
I'll make mine brief and then we'll spend some time over to Chief Wayne's also. Station 42 update. Of course, the permit's been pulled. I had to jump through some hoops to get letter authorization waiving impact fees from Davis County or North Davis Sewer. We got that taken care of, and that's been taken care of. Just FYI, we needed to order the generator as a district, and got that bid back, got the specs back. That's been ordered. It's 52 weeks out from Cummins. But that's been ordered. They're right now forming footings and foundation. There's a weight on rebar.
Wow.
Yeah. But not too long of a wait. I don't think it's taken us off schedule. So you should be seeing in January footings, foundation, and flat work start to take off at that point right now. So,
Chief, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you have an official photographer?
Yeah, well, Hogan is.
Oh, they will document the construction?
The progress, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was like, we just lost Holly on a lot
right.
of things because she was our.
It wasn't good for us to follow up, though. They did say that, but we haven't checked the progress.
They've been doing drone footage and updates, but I
yeah, just make sure.
Yeah, and sorry, I'm sure that they'll do it for their own purposes as well these days. That's part of the documentation of construction and even key points in construction that validates that they did what they're supposed to. But that doesn't always mean they're providing it to us, so I guess it would be well to reach out and see if they'll share at some point. And that it's even cool to put some of that on our website now that we're losing our website person. Drone footage and stuff showing that progress, but that'd be awesome. Just document that progress. Thanks.
And with that, if we could just maybe follow up with Catalyst Center, because that was one of the other cool things that we were supposed to get in kind of our agreements. Yeah, because we've got construction management and their drone class.
Really, I provide them a link, because there's a link you can get on for the whole progress and timing and provide them the link.
That any of us could look at?
Yeah, you could click on the link and it shows you the breakdown of timelines and all that.
Sure.
I think as this is kicked off, like that may have been adjusted. So, but we can provide you the link to that so you can get on any moment to see the progress of it.
And we're around the corner from standing up this new website, which is going to have the ability to keep that updated all the time.
Great.
Dispatch, so mayors and city council, dispatch is kind of a conundrum, and I'm in a holding pattern, working close with the county, Clearfield City, everybody during these meetings and what direction it's going to go or whatever, and I'm attending those meetings along with your city managers and police chiefs. MOPA, which is this station alarming that they're installing countywide. We got it installed in this station. I don't know how to say this. They have to dummy it down for me. It needs to talk to Clearfield Dispatch and Layton Dispatch and figure it out what direction dispatch is going, and firewalls and all this stuff has not been. We don't have a solution yet for not only NDFD, but South Weaver or Clinton or anybody yet. So that's just still to come. And some of that will depend on what direction dispatch services go with the county or Layton or Clearfield or whatever. And then there'll be mandated expenses to stand that up for dispatcher training or whatever. So. Staying on top of that, and then UCAN, which you talk to communications authority, you're all familiar with, anybody that has police departments, is changing constantly and having mandates. So now we're finding out that all of our radios have to be phase two compliant by a certain day. Police departments have to update it. You have to. There's no other, you can't opt out. So we're in pretty good shape, but right now we're in the middle of evaluating our radios and the timeline to make sure that we're, all of our radios are phase two compliant as well. It's unfortunate, but, well, it's fortunate for some. The county, of course, the state used ARPA money and bought the prison, all the state facilities, everything, updated their radios. And then if you were in a class, what class county are we?
Four. Yeah.
Class four, you don't get any funds for radio. But if you're in a class one or whatever, rural, Gunnison or whatever, they're buying it for you. So we're just doing a quandary. And I just attended the meeting, so I'll keep the board updated on that. Special Ops 42, the box truck, has been painted and the stickers are on it, and it's down at Premier getting lights. Clearfield TV donated some surplus property they had to help us out, and we have some, and anyway, we're getting the lighting and every package put on it, and then we'll be back. And then also, just FYI, we ordered our ambulance that's due to be, well, it was due next year in capital, but it's two and a half years out. So it's ordered. It doesn't cost any money up front, but that's ordered right now. So other than that, I'll defer to Chief Henry.
Any questions? I'm going to talk about just five things. I'll just kind of go to the top and then address them in no particular order. So just kind of an update on the first professionals. And secondly, some mental health, some good news on that, an AFG grant to identify the board, some new hires, and then our website. So I'll address the first professionals first. That's coming along really well. As we spoke to before, we're seeing a $400 increase in the revenue. And I think I want to speak to that, just maybe give a little understanding. Like you would maybe ask, well, why would that be? By switching billing companies, I think it's just that billing company did a more thorough job and going through the billing than the other company that we're using. And so, to speak to that, another thing that we're doing in-house, which I think is very important, is it's one thing to go find a new company, but inheriting those things in-house that we can be doing. So what we're doing now is we're doing a QA. It's actually mandated by the state that you do it. It's called a QA, which stands for Quality Assurance, and QI, Quality Improvements. So what we've done is we've got a lady that is specifically looking at every medical report, going through them very well. What we've also instituted is a scoring program. So we're putting out an SOP that in your evaluations, each of the employees who does what's called an electronic patient care report, they're going to be evaluated and scored. What we've already seen in the last 3 months, it hasn't been as far as the SOP that starts in January, but we've already seen huge improvements on the reporting. And that's really dividend when it goes to billing. When first professional looks at it, we're able to, it's all based upon the procedures that they do and the narrative that they write. And so if we improve in-house, we're more likely to improve on encapsulating all the revenue that should come with the call. So that's something that we're doing in-house, and it's working real well. Next off is the mental health. There was a House Bill 22 that came out in 2022 that was mandating that first responders receive mental health for them, their family, their children, and then even retirees. We did have, I want to say, Bloom Quest. So that's kind of a good foresight that we were already in the game. We went further to hiring an individual, Jeff Getting, who with our physical fitness, who actually does a mental health assessment twice a year. We have found that's been really great. But the good news is this, I put in for a grant to help offset the cost of this mental health cost. But also a part of this is we're realizing that peer support is really important.
And what a peer support team is, it's trained firefighters, individuals who go get training on how to identify those who are struggling in the mental health. And so this is going to help with the cost. And the grant we were awarded was $29,000. So that's a lot of money that will go into further our cause and helping our firefighters in the mental health. Next off is the AFG grant we put in last year for the SCBAs, which we didn't get. We're seeing another need that this department needs, which is power gurneys, to save from back injuries. These are gurneys that will actually put the gurney in the ambulance, push the button, and actually rest it. There's no lifting involved. And so back injuries are one of the number one injuries in falls. So we're hoping that we can put in for this grant and maybe receive the grant to pay for these gurneys. We're one of the few departments that don't have them. When the money came with the
ARPA, CARES Act,
the city's got them, but a lot of departments paid for those gurneys using the CARES Act. And so we feel like it's a need that we get this department, and we're hoping that maybe the safety grant will provide that. So we're going to be doing that in the next year. Next, another great thing is new hires. We've hired a lot of new people with the resignations. It's been a kind of a tornado in the last month. But right now, we're fully staffed. We hired three. We actually hired a bunch of part-timers. We're at 15 part-timers, and we're fully staffed as of today. So to the amount. So we're really happy with that. We've got a lot of young firefighters. We've had to make some adjustments as far as the hiring, looking outside the box. We do have individuals who don't have certifications, but graciously our firefighters are willing to train them. And so we're really, right now, we're in a really good spot. It's exciting. And it's one of the things I enjoy is hiring a firefighter, look in the eye, and just see the excitement. So that's really good news. We're in a good spot right now. Lastly is the website that is set to launch January 1. Jamie is actually doing a lot of the groundwork on it, getting photos and pictures, but it's to launch January 1. There'll be some work that's involved up to that point, and then after that. And so, but Jamie, we have a meeting on Monday, and we're in the process right now. But January 1, we should be starting up going live. I'm happy to take any questions to any of those areas on the desk. If there are questions.
I'm trying to just one.
Okay. Yeah.
Your mental health grant, who did that come through?
That comes from the state, and that's a great question. It's funny because they didn't even really announce it. There was like over $500,000 from the state department or given from the state, but they really didn't tell anybody. And so I don't know if it was just on purpose. I don't know, but fortunately Jeff said, hey, do you know, because I really want to put our individuals in peer support. Yeah. I know going through some things, issues in Ogden with officers who were shot and killed, I was involved with, and so I know the value of the peer support. And a lot of times your firefighters are not going to come to us to have if you've got a problem. So it's a way that they can look towards their peers and get help. And so I know it's worked in other jurisdictions, so it's just odd that they didn't announce it. So that's the benefit of it. But Jeff fortunately said, hey, you got to put in this grant. I think you can, I think you can handle what your district is. And so, yeah, just we're fortunate. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be that much. They didn't tell us how much it was going to be awarded. They based it off the census. They based it off the call volume. And so, really, I'm very pleased that we got somebody to help with that. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. Any other questions?
We're so excited for the website. The website company that we're going with is one that Streamline, and they
do.
Yeah, like I say, I'm really excited about this one. This is going to be good.
So we had originally gone with BTS. We're trying to. I think it's nice we can have all of this. They're doing a lot of the other IT stuff with your department, but there's just the process we weren't pleased with, and we had to have a frank conversation with them on the timelines, and their timeline was so. I mean, it was out until March, and so we weren't real happy with it, so we had to kind of make a decision. And it didn't go well in the meeting, but we felt like we also didn't know that this Streamline company, it is a platform. They do a lot of fire departments. We didn't know about it at the time. But once we didn't know about it, we had discussion. We discussed it amongst ourselves. Like, I think this is the best avenue for our department to take. And so with that, we're still very pleased with the work. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Unfortunately, ETS just didn't work out. And so it's just a decision we made, and we're confident that Streamline will do an excellent job moving forward. It's also extremely, as far as price-wise, that was another factor. The price that goes into it was way cheaper than ETS. So we think this is right after, and maybe things will change down the road, but right now, to get us where we need to be, this is going to be great. And another crucial part of it was the billing, with this fee schedule coming in. Even with ETS, we weren't with the means we had, they just couldn't quite give us a solid answer how it was going to work with when someone got to our website and filled out the fee. They just didn't know after meeting. And Streamline, it was real quick, it was real easy. Yeah, of course, they can get to QuickBooks, they can get online. And so all of that played into factors why we made that decision to move away from ETS. However, ETS is a great company. They're really good with everything
else. All our other stuff there.
So I'm not here to talk to Andrew about the company. It's just, we felt like this is a different direction we need to go. But everything else has been great with. So I want to make sure that's clear that ETS is good and everything else. This is just a situation that we need to change. So.
Cool. Well done.
I'm excited for that. So thank you. Anything on member city updates?
Okay. Got drawings this morning for the Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
So, you know, while other cities have said, hey, we think they're coming here, though. We have drawings. They will be coming to Falcon Hill here shortly. It was a nice addition. We had a nice meeting with the base this week, and with the base and Woodbury, who would like to do, 1,200 units. Up on the south end of what is now Hill Air Force Base, but will become part of and to be annexed into Falcon Hill. They'd like to do 1,200 units up there. I told them no. I actually said hell no. That's just not going to happen. They'll end up, I'm sure, with some sort of housing, but they're getting delayed on just about everything. 1800 North's been delayed. They've had some EIS issues still up there. Now they're having issues with the water, with the canal, and how they get the water into the other directions. And Hill questions whether or not it will actually happen. They still think there's a possibility 1800 just doesn't happen because they can't get past the costs now, which have almost doubled. And so they're a little concerned that may never actually come to fruition unless the state, the state's going to have to pony up a whole lot more money than what they're doing now. But
so when you say 1800, are you talking...
That's the new interchange.
Yeah, are you talking the interchange or are you talking the widening?
They won't widen 1800 until they do the interchange.
But the interchange is what's in question?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I'm sure the state's not going to let that go, but Hill's kind of questioning whether or not it ever... comes about just because of the cost and the delays and where is it going to come from. And the state's already ponied up an absolute fortune and then went out and dug deep into the well to find the money to actually widen 1800 at the same time. It's been a...
What are the federal options? I mean, right now you have unprecedented amounts of money and we just sat through a bunch of the NLC saying, and here's how you go chase the grant stuff because that's an art in and of itself.
And it'll be interesting to see if that, how they come up with the money, but it's their only option. But EIS has been a major problem up there to start with.
EIS,
and having to redo the EIS.
I don't speak.
Environmental studies.
Impact.
Environmental
I'm
impact
glad everybody else is.
Sorry. went out last week to watch the unveiling of the B-21 bomber. And in my conversations with Northrop, they've got a huge operation in Freeport. They've got their commercial operation, the F-35 operation, and their secret operation that no one knows anything about, which turns out is building a pretty significant part of the B-21 bomber. And they're about to take another building in Freeport.
Got a fire on that one.
And the building they're taking?
Yeah, they didn't want to go in and put it out. They wanted to come in with the fire.
Is that the new building yet?
Because that was the secret one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the secret building. So there's a new secret building coming in.
Yeah. It's hard to keep all the secret buildings.
D-14 or they're in.
Well, it's just funny. When Kemp and SCA here, we gotta go in. We're gonna go with you. I promise I'm not gonna take it. We're not gonna look at it. We have to sign an agreement. So when we come out, we have to sign a document.
Oh, yeah.
That we want the school they get overseen. So
I can't get in there.
Some challenges, yeah.
I've tried. Yeah, if there's...
Yes. Actually, it's actually like a discussion, because even medically, we were... I challenged them, like, well, what happens if someone has a heart attack? Or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll bring in a view, like, well, that's not really how it works. Mm-hmm. So we need to have some type of agreement in an emergency situation where we can get access. And so we were working on that.
It is a... Yeah, it is that top secret. What they're doing. It, my invitation from the... For Northrop to even go to the event consisted of four different parts, two different passwords. But yeah, it was a. But it was cool. Not gonna lie.
So I just have one question. They're doing 5600 though. They're widening 5600 still.
Yes.
So why is 5600 getting widened and 1800 has been in?
Because 5600 took priority because of Northrop Grumman's because of the RIC. I mean, you're trying to push a million square feet of office up there and thousands and thousands of employees. So they've already started, they're getting close to moving the gate south. Mm-hmm. And then they'll start 5600 in the spring.
I worked for competition at Northrop Grumman, so I was curious if that was why it had gotten...
Oh, yeah. When you're bringing 4,000 and some odd jobs to the state, and they'll do anything they want, you want them to. And that was crucial because it's backed up everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well,
unfortunately, as they start doing that one, guess where that's going to come? So it would be backed up like a nightmare in Clearfield for a long time.
And Legacy will be opening soon, right? You've helped turn that pressure off?
No, it won't take any of that pressure off. It's all going to Hill. How's it going to take?
So for me, you don't have to worry about getting on Freeway up there. Go to Legacy.
This is true.
Yeah, so.
You can come to West Point and, yes. And
get
on Legacy.
Try. Come on down.
Anything from Sunset or West Point?
Sunset's pretty... We don't really get complaints about the service. They're very happy with the service they're getting, and they're just happy.
They're looking forward to Santa Claus coming through this weekend, too.
Yeah.
So.
He hasn't shown up yet in Sunset?
They've been waiting years.
Oh, okay.
It's only a myth in Sunset.
Okay.
So is that Saturday?
It's a magical thing.
But they still believe.
Is it Saturday?
Still
believe. Saturday.
That's all that matters. Yeah. That's what Ted Lasso told me.
On Saturday.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah.
Our building slowed way, 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 way down.
And we do have a grand opening this weekend at Java Express. Is that Java Express? Yeah.
Yeah.
Next to Dollar Tree. We're doing our grand opening Saturday morning, so good for you to come in and get a drink.
Bring us some coffee.
Bring us some tax dollars.
There we go.
Argentine restaurant.
They are moving forward quickly. They finally hired a general contractor and they're busting the place out. So it's nice to walk by there and see that there's actually stuff on the walls now in there.
So someone should be contacting
me. I hope so.
Where is that one at?
That's underneath Clearfield Junction Apartments. It's Argentine Corner that's moving in there.
At the library. So as soon as that happens, there has to be like an empanada run.
Yeah.
Somebody brings empanadas.
Dang straight.
Doesn't that sound good?
You're bringing empanadas anyway.
No, I know. That's in hindsight, things we should have done. Okay. Hey, thank you guys for the updates. We appreciate it. Okay. With that then, if someone would like to move to adjourn into a closed session.
I would make that motion.
Yes,
I would move. I was just going to do that. You said that. I would move into a closed session in order to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
Plus, we've got to add where that meeting is going to take place. So it's
going to
be here with us, say that.
Oh, so we technically, no. We just have to say where we are once we've gone into it. But
well, we have to have that in the minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move that we hold it here then. Station 41.
381 North.
Yeah, I don't know what the address is. It's North Davis Fires District, Station 41. in the big, huge room in the middle.
Yeah. Pursuant to 524-205-1A, if you need all of that.
You got it. We're good, Mark.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
Are we okay to just...
It's a roll call.
It is a roll call?
Definitely.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll mix it up and go the opposite direction. Mayor Madsen.
Yes.
Gary.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Annette.
Yes.
Mayor Shepherd.
Aye.
Mayor Vincent.
Aye.
Vernon.
Aye.
Okay. That is unanimous then. Okay, then, Chief Hadley, we will excuse you as we go into, and we'll excuse everyone except, we'll excuse Chief Williams as well. In the nicest way possible, this is where we kindly say get lost, as my kids say. In our family, it's I love you, get lost. That's how we say it. So we'll excuse you here. Okay, so we're, yeah, just make sure that we're not broadcasting and doing something weird. We'll let them know.